Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Corinthians 15 verse 12 says, "Now if Christ is preached that has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead does not raise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." It's interesting that our faith, its substance is in the resurrection. I mean, without the resurrection, our faith is meaningless. Matter of fact, even Paul said, without it, you know, there's nothing. Our faith is nothing without the resurrection. Without it is empty. This resurrection of Christ is our hope. And it's not just for the life to come, it is for the life right now. This is what our faith in Christ, our Christianity is built on, is based on. Not just what God says about Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he came as the Messiah, but the fact that he overcame death and sin and that he's alive. This is it. This is the seal of approval, not just of who Christ is, but it is the seal of our justification, because we were crucified with him. And therefore, as he was risen with us, we are being justified because of his life. This is the most important day. I want us just to look at a little DVD clip concerning the resurrection. And then I want to share a few thoughts the Lord laid on my heart for us today. About this great resurrection.
It was supposed to be a day of mourning, a day of defeat. It was a day for the critics and skeptics to point the finger with smug satisfaction and declare, "Your Savior was a fraud. His death has proven it. He is buried, he is gone, and he will be forgotten." It was supposed to be a day of darkness and a day of grief. A day when broken and confused followers felt lost and overwhelmed with hopelessness. Even those who went to visit the tomb that day expected to find nothing more than a lifeless body. It was supposed to be a day of sadness and weeping. But you transformed it into a day of rejoicing, a day of victory, a day when the children of God can shout with confidence, "He is alive, he is risen, and he will never be forgotten." This day has driven out all darkness and grief, erased all sin and shame. A day when followers of the true Savior are flooded with purpose, promises, and hope. This day echoes through the halls of history as the day our King crushed the head of the snake, tore through the chains of death itself, and claimed mankind for his kingdom. Tears of despair have become tears of overwhelming joy. For the Lord, Jesus Christ, has made this day of sorrow into a day of worship.
It You see, this day was meant to be a day of despair, a day of sorrow, a day of hopelessness. But something changed, something happened in this day that changed everything for those who are in Christ Jesus. It changes everything. All of a sudden, our hopelessness, our despair, our grief was changed. It was transformed in great joy, in great expectation, in great excitement, because Jesus is alive. And he still is alive today, 2,000 years later. But yet so many Christians still live in despair, hopelessness, and grief. Have we forgotten what happened on that day? You know, today we are here to celebrate his resurrection. And this is amazing, because in his resurrection, he established life. He overcame death. He overcame sin. And he paved the new way for us. We are here today to celebrate his resurrection. But as I was preparing, I just sensed the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. But to share with us, all of us today, it's not just his resurrection we're celebrating today. It's our resurrection. It's not just his victory, it's our victory. And it's this that I want to share with you this morning, that what we are celebrating today is not just what Christ has done for us, which is the foremost, which is the first, which is the most important, but God is speaking to us this morning and say, it's not just my son's resurrection, it's yours. It's not just my son's victory, it's your victory. I mean, that's why he came. How is this possible? Well, because we were crucified with him. How is this possible that it is not just his resurrection, but our resurrection? Well, it's simple, because we were crucified with him. He was not alone in that cross. No, all my sin was with him. My old man was crucified with him. Yeah, we read of that. The fact that we died with him in Romans 6, verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also we should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that you should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, we were crucified with him. We died with him. And why did we have to die with him? Well, because of our sin. And not just because what we have done, but because of what was wrong within us. We were sinners. We have a sinful nature. We were broken. We sinned because we were sinners, and therefore we had to die. We had to die so that we could be resurrected into new life, so that we could become a new creation. We first had to die before we can become a new creation, so that we can have new life. This day, we're not just celebrating his resurrection, we're celebrating our resurrection. We're not just celebrating the fact that he came back to life, we are celebrating our new life. That's Romans 6 verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, it's not just his resurrection we're celebrating, it's ours. See, what was wrong with us? We were sinners driven by the flesh, living for ourselves to satisfy our own desires. That's who we used to be. But we had to die so that we could become a new creation, so that we can have a new life. And now that we have been raised with him, we can live this new life that is not after what we want, but after what he wants. Not after our fleshly desires, but after the desire of the Spirit, after his desires. So we have been raised with him to satisfy his desires and to live for him, no longer for ourselves. Romans 6 verse 10 says, for the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not just his resurrection, it's ours. Romans 6 verse 22 says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have the fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So no, we're not just celebrating His resurrection. We're not just celebrating His new life. We are celebrating our resurrection, our new life. With Him and in Him and for Him. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 2 verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? This life in Him is not from a distance. It's close and personal. I shared on this Friday. This life, this being in Christ, is not from a distance. It is an intimate, face-to-face relationship with Him. And it's in this relationship that we have life. Now, because I have died with Him and I have been raised with Him, I can live for Him, in Him, and through Him. His resurrection has become my resurrection. His life has become my life. His victory has become my victory. What is Christ's is now mine. I want to declare to you this morning, what is Christ is now yours. If you are in Christ, then whatever is Christ is yours. Romans 8 verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So if you are in Christ, then everything that is Christ's is yours. You have become a joint heir, a co-heir with Christ. Do you see that? I hope you see that. Because this is really what I believe God is laying on my heart to share with all of us this morning, is that His resurrection, His victory, His life is your resurrection, your victory, your life. And whatever is Christ is now yours because you are now in Him. So this day is a great day for all of us. Because He is victorious. Therefore, you are victorious. He has overcome everything. All power of darkness, all sin, all pain, all sorrow, all sickness, He has overcome it all. Everything that the devil in this world could throw at Him, He overcame everything. If He overcame everything, what does it make you? An overcomer. Because His victory is your victory. What He overcame, you overcame. He is not the tail, but the head. So who are you? You are not the tail either. You are now the head in Him. See, why I'm sharing this is because many times we face adversities, we face storms, trials, and tribulation, and we suffer mentally, emotionally, and physically, and we face these things so many times as losers. We face life and all the storms and all the tribulations and trials and adversities that we face, we so many times face it as losers. Not in who we are in Christ, not in our true identity, but in whom we used to be, we face life as if we are still part of it. But you're not. And because we tackle these things as defeated, we many times end up defeated. These storms and adversities, these trials and tribulations, because we face them as defeated, as losers, you know what we end up as? Defeated. You know, a friend once said, the mentality we face our adversity with will largely determine the outcome. I don't know if he's here. I don't see him. It's not his exact words, but I just paraphrased it. It came down to the whole fact of the way you see your problem, the way you face your problem, the way you tackle your problem will largely determine the outcome of your problem. And so many times we face life and we face all these challenges as if we are losers, and we are surprised that we many times lose these battles. Because it's the mentality, it's the identity, it is the approach, it is the faith in which we address these things that will determine. When the storms come, whether we believe that God is for us and not against us, whether we believe that God says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, whether we believe that God says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, you can speak to the storm, and it will turn away from you. We had this powerful testimony. Thank you for that. But what do you believe? Who are you? Lisa ran the Two Oceans half marathon yesterday. She's not here now, but I'm very proud of her. And I'm sorry she's not here. She's doing Kiddies Church. I don't know which is worse for her. But you know what? She did not enter the race not to finish it. She did not enter the Two Oceans not to finish it. She entered it to finish. Now, this is so important. This life that you face, this race that you're running, are you running to quit, to lose, or are you running to finish it? You see, she did not enter this race to finish it. She entered it to finish it. That was her mindset. She believed that she can. She did not believe she was a loser. She believed she's a winner. And because she believed she could do it, she entered in it. But she didn't enter it with an expectation not to finish. She entered it with an expectation to finish it. And to finish it strong. And I'm so proud of her. Because you know what? My wife suffered during that race. She suffered. I can tell you, she suffered. Now, I want to tell you something about my wife. She does not like suffering. Okay? She does not. I love suffering. I love pain. Pain is my friend. I love mountain biking. We just got married, and I saw all this potential. I saw this fight in her, and I thought, I'm going to make her a professional mountain biker. And I started to train her. And I took her with me in the mountains, you know, and it's sweat, it's dirt, and she fell. And whenever she fell, I said, no, you must get up, you must go over that log again. Because you must get it right, because next time you're going to be afraid, so you must finish this obstacle with a victory. Otherwise, next time you're going to be hesitant. And I took her through the worst places I possibly could to train her. And you know what, after one fall, full of blood again, and full of mud, she just said, you know what? This is not nice. I don't like this. I said, no, but it is. It really is nice. He says, no, it isn't. And she never got on the mountain bike again. My wife doesn't like suffering. Maybe she's normal. I don't know. But she entered this race full knowing that she's going to suffer. I mean, 21 Ks of absolute suffering from the beginning to the end. She knew she was going to suffer, but she also believed that she is a winner, not a loser. She believed she's going to finish it. And because she believed she's going to finish it, you know what? She was able to endure the suffering. If she knew she was not going to finish it, she would not endure the suffering that she did. Because I saw her at the end, I was waiting for her. She was in pain. When she finished, she was still in pain. And today, she is still in pain. But she knew, because it's the fourth time. She knew she was going to suffer, but she believed. She knew she could finish it. And because she knew she could finish it, because she believed she finished, she was willing to endure the suffering. But if you believe you cannot win, you cannot finish, you will not endure the suffering. You will get out. I'm so proud of her. Because she knew she could finish. And you know what the result is? And this is so important. Because she believed she could, she endured the suffering. She endured it to the very end. And she finished. She finished. But not only that. She not only believed she could finish, she believed she could do it under 2 hours. Now last year she did it in 2 hours, 3 minutes. But last year she trained for about 4 months. This year she only trained for 4 weeks. I just want to put it in context. She realized that she's not fit enough, so she thought, you know what, I'm not going to suffer and not make it. But then I encouraged her and said, but you can do this. And then she got a training program to do it in 4 weeks. So she followed the training program. If you want it, you can come speak to us afterwards. So she trained very hard for 4 weeks. And she believed, and I must confess, I did not. I mean, I knew what she could do with 4 months training. And then she said she's going to do it in 4 weeks training. I said, yeah. But you know what? She believed she could do it. And guess what? She did it in 1 hour, 58 minutes. But it was suffering from the beginning to the end. But because she believed she is a winner, not a loser. She's not a quitter. She's going to do this. She endured the suffering and she achieved the goal. Well, you are not a loser either. You are not a loser. You are not a quitter. As a matter of fact, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You see, His resurrection, His victory is your resurrection. It's your victory. That's the amazing thing. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 7 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? You see, He's raised us up now so that in the future He can show His great love towards us. You see, you've been raised with Christ. You've been seated with Him so that you can live with Him, so that whatever He achieved on the cross and the resurrection, you can have right now today. That is the God who we serve. That is who you are. You are not a loser. You are not defeated. And if you are in Christ, then His blessings are your blessings. You see, that's the amazing thing about the gospel. It's not just that you've been set free, but that you have become part and parcel of the family of God. God has given you His Spirit and you are now in Him. And everything that is yours. All His blessings are your blessings. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, all these blessings are yours. As a matter of fact, if you are in Christ, all His promises are your promises. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. Do you see that? No matter what you face in this life, God will turn it for your good. Because you're in Christ. Because you're not a loser. Because you are a finisher. Because you have the victory in Him. Because the victory, His victory, is your victory. That's why Romans 8 says, and we know all things work together for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so I can go on and on the whole day, and I had to cut it short. But the point I'm trying to make, what the Lord is laying on my heart, is that His resurrection is your resurrection. His victory is your victory. And you're no longer a loser. You're a winner. You are no longer defeated. You're a conqueror. You know, Jesus did not die for himself. He died for you. He didn't die for himself. He died for me. He died for you. He died for us. That's why he died. He did not conquer sin and death for himself. He conquered sin and death for us so that we can be free. He was not trapped in sin. We were. So he died so that we can be free. Why do we still live as if we are trapped in it? Because that's not why he came. He did not come to establish eternal life for himself. He already had it. He came to establish eternal life for us. It's yours. In Christ, it's yours. And this is what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to us today, on this resurrection day, that it is not just my son's resurrection that we are celebrating today. It's not just my son's victory that we are celebrating today. It is your resurrection. It is your victory. That is why he died. That is why I raised him up, so that you can live a victorious life, not a defeated life. I did not call you to be defeated. I called you to be conquerors. This is who you are. And I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to say, thank you, Father, for sending your Son so that we could die with him. So that you could raise us up together and seat us together in heavenly places. And God, this morning I believe you are calling us. And there are some of us here today that are like Lazarus, is still in their graves. And God, you are calling them out of their circumstances, out of their defeated mindset, and you are calling them to yourself. You are saying, my son, my daughter, stand up. Stand up. It's not just my son that is raised from the dead. It's you. And today, it's you that need to stand up. It's you. You need to get out of this grave. You need to get out of this mindset. You need to get out of this grave clothes that gives you identity, that has been trapping you in this grave for so long. You think you are dead. You think you're defeated. You think you're a loser. But today I want to declare to you, you're alive. You are not dead. You are alive. And you don't need to be in this grave anymore. Get out. Get out of this grave. Take off this clothes. Take off this identity that you walk with. You are my son. You are my daughter. And this thing that you're facing, and I don't know what you are facing, but whatever you are facing, it will not overcome you. It will not defeat you. Because you are my son, you're my daughter, and my victory is yours, and I've called you. No matter what you face, I will turn it for your good, and you will overcome it. Because that is who you are. But you need to believe it. You need to respond to it. You need to appropriate it. You need to receive it. You need to act on it. You need to get out. So I just, for a moment, as you are seated, as you are praying, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, if you are here this morning and you are in a grave, you are covered in grave clothes. God is speaking to you this morning. I don't know what circumstances you're in. I don't know what storm you're facing. I don't know what fears are raging in your heart and your mind, but God is saying, you are not dead. You are alive. You are not defeated. You are a victor. You have overcome. But you need to believe it. You need to believe it like that testimony earlier. You need to believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you are alive? Do you believe that you are in me, and in me nothing is impossible for you? Nothing is impossible. You just need to believe it. And if that is you this morning, if you are in a circumstances, if you are in a grave, if you are caught in identity or belief or fear or depression or hopelessness or despair, this morning I believe God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. But you need to believe it. And as we are praying, if that is you this morning and you want to be free, you are the one in the grave. You are the one with the grave clothes. Maybe you're out of the grave, but you're still walking around as a living dead. But God wants to set you free. He wants to take off those clothes and He wants to give you a new identity. If that is you this morning, I just want you to just respond your hand by just raising your hand. Just respond where you are this morning. If that is you, if you're in this grave, if you're facing the circumstances, if you're trapped in fear, if you've lost hope, I want to ask you to do something powerful. I want you to do, as the band come forward, I just want you to come forward and we're going to pray. I want you to take a step. I want you to act on this faith. And this morning what you're going to do is you're going to say, I am not dead. I am alive. I am not defeated. I have overcome. And if that is you, if you've raised your hand, I want to ask you just to come forward. And even if you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to God, then you are still dead. This is an opportunity to rise, to be alive. And if that is you, I want to invite you also to come forward. If you want to surrender your life to God, you don't know about this life that I'm speaking about. You don't know about this joy and this victory and this identity. I want to invite you to come forward. This is Resurrection Day. This is the day that the dead will become alive. And if you are spiritually dead, God wants to breathe His life in you and make you new, make you a new creation. And I want to invite you to come forward. If you've raised your hand, if you want to surrender your life to God, this is the day. This is Resurrection Day. And I want to invite you to come forward. Oh, and as you do, as you take that step, this is what you're doing. This is Lazarus. This is God calling out to Lazarus. If you're in the grave, don't stay there. Get out. Just get out. Just get up from your seat. Get up from your circumstances. Get up from the lies that you have been believing and come out. Come out. God wants to give you life, but you need to put your faith in it. You need to appropriate it. So I want to give you an opportunity. If that is you this morning and you want to get out of your circumstances, you want to get out of your fear, out of your identity, and maybe you are dead, maybe you want this life, you must come. As the God is speaking to you this morning, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through His Word, I want you to respond and come. And as I give you opportunity to do that, I want to end off with this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Maybe you are here, maybe you are trapped in sin, or maybe you are considering to give up. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your circumstances is, but today on Resurrection Day, God is calling you. And here in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this is a great cloud of witnesses, but God is not speaking about the people in this room. This is not the great crowd. This is not the crowd He's speaking about. He's speaking about Abram. He's speaking about the great heroes of faith. He's speaking about Gideon, Joshua, David, all the great men of faith that has gone before you. He's speaking about a greater crowd of witnesses. Today He's calling you in the midst of them all. He's calling you out of your grave. He's saying, come. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're going through a difficult time and if you're still out there and you're considering this, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. If there's one thing that I want to leave you with, God is saying to you, do not give up. You are not defeated. You are not defeated. Do not give up. Do not give up. You are not defeated. I don't know what you are struggling with. I don't know what you're bad. There's still some people that need to come out, and I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Because God is calling you to get out of your grave. I don't know if you're dead or whether you're trapped. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're struggling. I don't know what lies you are believing. But God is calling you to come out. Thank you for your faith, sir, for your obedience. There's more people that needs to come out. And I'm going to wait for you. Because this is it. God is calling you now to get out of your grave. Come out. Come out, Lazarus. Come out. Come out with your grave clothes. Come out with your problems. Come out with your sin. Come out with your secrets, with your struggles. Just come out. So I want to give you life. So now is an opportunity to come out. Just one more person. Don't worry, I don't know who you are. Just come. Thank you. And we're going to pray for these people. We're going to pray for them because God's going to give them life. Because you are not a failure. You are not a failure. And you are not defeated. And you will overcome. You will overcome. You will be victorious. You will make the 2-hour barrier. You will not be cut off. Because that's not who Christ made you to be. You are a new creation. And nothing is impossible because He is in you. He's given you your spirit. So Father, I want to thank you for these lives, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for each and every person here, Lord. I want to thank you for their faith, Lord. I want to thank you for their obedience, Father God. I want to thank you, Father, for the appropriation of what you have given them on this day. 2,000 years ago, you died for them so that they may have life. And maybe somebody here has considered suicide. God is saying to you, do not die because I've already died for you. I've given my life so that you might have life. This is the life that I've come to give you, life of abundance that overflows. And Father, I want to thank you for these lives, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that you will set them free, Father, from their circumstances, Father, from the impossibility, Lord. What is impossible for man is possible for you, God. Who has ever heard of a man being raised to life after being dead for 3 days? Father, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you, Father, that you're saying that if I could speak life into Lazarus, if I could speak life into my son, I can speak life into you. I can speak life into your circumstances. Your enemies might think you're defeated. Your enemies might speak death over you. They might be rejoicing over your demise, over your defeat. But I will turn it into the greatest victory. And I will vindicate you in their presence. I will prepare a table and your cup will not be half empty. But in their presence I will anoint you. I will vindicate you because you are my child. You are my daughter. And your prayers, it will be heard. Your prayers that you've been praying, don't give up. The faith that you're standing in, there's some people here, they are standing in faith for fathers. You're standing in faith for mothers, for husbands, for children. God is saying, don't give up because I haven't. Don't give up. And I want us just to stretch out our hands as we pray for these people. If the facilitators can help. And let's just pray life over the circumstances, life over this body. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.